Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and this program is about the evolution of consciousness, and that means we are going through a major upgrade in our whole way of thinking, our way of being, our way of relating to each other, governments, religions, philosophy. Everything that you can imagine is right now in the process of change, and that is why I have with me tonight one of those people who are looking at that big picture, Laura Eisenhower. And Laura, thanks for being here. And let's just jump into it, you know?
Well, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. I also want to say, Laura's going to be at Contact in the Desert along with me and a bunch of other really amazing people, researchers in the UFO field. And that is June 3rd to the 6th this year, 2016. You can go to contactinthedesert.com for tickets and more information. But let's talk about what's happening right now that you're aware of, because, Laura, you're sort of tuned into the sort of a higher awareness, I think. You've spent a lot of time accessing these other realms. So what do you see right now in this, you know, political shift, this consciousness shift? What's your barometer of the consciousness weather?
Well, good question. I mean, everybody's at a different place with it. I mean, I think sometimes one looks around and just wonders, you know, why aren't people downloading the same stuff? I mean, how is it that we're in this shift time, but, you know, people are still really absorbed in the elections in the same way that maybe it played out, you know, years ago. So, I mean, everybody's at a different level, and I think we really need to respect and hold space for wherever people are, but we have a responsibility to share the truth and to share the deeper layers. And, you know, in the last 10 years or so, so much has come to the surface that, you know, one might ask the question, you know, how can we go down, how can we do things in the same way without really being insane? And we know that that's the definition. So there's some difficult aspects. I mean, we've had Uranus, Pluto, and outer planets work us over the course of many years. So there's been a lot of crises that have helped to wake people up, a lot of death, rebirth experiences. And now we're dealing with a Saturn-Neptune square that I almost see it like a rubber band being pulled back, and then it's going to let us go and we're going to be like, yes. But until then, I mean, there's just a lot of pressure. There's sort of a sparring between the imagination, our multidimensional awareness, and our current reality. And our job is to bring this new reality in by embodying it, by speaking it, by sharing it, by living it. And I think this is what these, you know, times are about. And these are what the influences are asking of us.
Well, let's talk about that specifically, like, because I think people are definitely aware, even if you're the most unconscious person, you're aware that things aren't what they used to be, even the political landscape, even every little piece of our social structure seems to be different. And of course, there's always been change, but this is a radical change. So what are some of the things that someone can do if they are aware, and also what we can tell others that, you know, might just be waking up and say, hey, I think something's happening. What do you think? What do you get?
Well, first off, you know, I'm surprised Hillary's not in prison yet, and that more people haven't held her accountable, because there's been, you know, a book written. There's just enough information on, you know, some of these individuals that they should not be allowed in society, and they're running for president. It doesn't make much sense to me. I mean, I think, you know, what is being, you know, called forth and what, you know, we can do is to recognize our own leadership, you know, to not expect it to come in from outside of ourselves. And this is what the ascension is all about. This is the great revelation, is that we are the shift. We're the ones that are the conduits for this, you know, higher energy coming in, while we're also drawing energy from the center of the earth that's activating at this 13th gate level, which is a whole nother thing connected to.
Well, talk to us about the 13th,
you know,
gate.
Our DNA and our chakras.
What do you mean by the 13th gate? What do you mean by that? Can you explain that a little further?
Sure. And I know it's, you know, when one throws out new concepts, it's like, you know, difficult to wrap one's head around it. But this planetary body was seeded with a 13-dimensional core. So we're actually on a multidimensional planet, but we're only experiencing a certain portion of it because we're only experiencing a certain portion of our own DNA and our own consciousness. We've gone through, you know, lots of cycles of incarnations, reincarnations in order to, you know, wear enough hats to have enough experience to be able to make wise choices with our free will, you know, because we learn from cause and effect. The 13th gate, there's been, you know, rituals for thousands of years and a lot of manipulation to the earth grids and this energy within the earth. And everything has kind of been put in reversals. The dodecahedron, which is a platonic solid, has been manipulated, which connects with the ethers. So we are dealing with a compromised earth nature, which they've been attempting to control with, you know, chemtrails and weather modification. And then there's us. And we are a living example of what that looks like. And so we got to push the envelope and be willing to expand beyond that so that the earth can respond to us and get that clearing. Now, earth doesn't need us. We don't need to save the earth, but this particular portion of her multidimensional body is giving us the opportunity to learn and grow and see where we're going wrong. So like a loving mother, you know, we're falling on our face and we're getting back up again, but there's, you know, agendas in the works that, you know, transhumanism and artificial intelligence that steers us away and sort of causes people to bypass the spiritual development and the coming together in unity consciousness and the awakening of these dormant strands. And that creates, you know, a dependency, and we're needing to get out of anything that has a dependency model. Artificial intelligence is particularly dangerous too, because it destroys all biological life. It's a foreign energy and it's imitating everything in nature, and we don't need it. You know, we can work with technologies and advance ourselves and be in harmony with nature and not do, you know, the destruction that we've done, but to a whole nother level, because, you know, we're operating from, you know, a model that does not regenerate or sustain itself. And it requires technology to stay alive, which becomes, you know, it models the vampiric system we've already been in. And so we're beyond the now, the past, the future. We got to just sort of assess it all and make the wise choices in the here and now, so we don't digress and lose ourselves to these promises or these scientific breakthroughs that promise a utopian society, when in actual fact, it's getting us further away from the goal. I mean, ascension is going to take us into that, but we have to make sure we're on the right timeline. We're working with technology in the correct way. We're utilizing technologies that come from the right sources, and that we're working with benevolent races that actually care about us. And we need that discernment, and we need to understand the difference between the two. And these are the crucial times that we need to be aware and making, you know, decisions that are going to serve us.
Right. No, I totally agree.
Also, and the 13th is it connects with our 12-strand DNA. It's the mother energy, and the whole idea is to get it out of the reversals. And it's a diamond sun energy, and it purifies the grids, it activates us, and it actually connects with the zero point, the neutron window, and it realigns us and reconnects us with Andromeda. And it's all within our chakras that this can happen.
Right. And it's happening now. The ascension is happening. This a whole sort of split within the timeline seems to be very almost visible, you know. It's almost, and why do you think it's happening now? Are we just at the vibration where it's time, or what else do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the developmental stages of a child, you know. We gotta kind of go through the roller and walk.
Yeah.
I mean, we're jumping around these timelines. You know, we can incarnate in the future, and, you know, a lot of being future that are in there. You know, a lot of individuals that are still reconciling with, you know, past line, you know, agreements and contracts, and, you know, whether they, you know, got stuck in some secret society, or they're trying to break a permanent bond with a loved one and move on to a different maybe bloodline or experience or persona. You know, all this stuff is sort of happening simultaneously, and we're each vibrating at a different level. So you can have a person vibrating at a 7D Gaia level, a seven-dimensional Gaia level, and you can have somebody else vibrating at a third density, you know, sort of lower chakra energy. And the whole idea is that we turn, you know, all these different levels on, and that we allow the elevator to sort of go up and turn on the light so that we can perceive a higher earth energy, which is ascension. But we're not going to experience it if we can't perceive it. So we have to go through the necessary initiations to help us to open those doors. But society and culture makes it very difficult and steers us into, you know, making us feel we're crazy. You know, there's the medical industry that, you know, takes advantage of it. You know, there's the whole model of vote for somebody, they'll fix the problem. And we know that that doesn't really work. So, you know, these times are really about, you know, self-responsibility and seeing our own connection and recognizing the connection, you know, within our own being and how that influences the planet. So.
Yeah, I know. But first I want to say about politicians, it's, you know, as long as any politician, yeah, I think Hillary Clinton is a little more involved in this whole process because she's been at it for so long. But the whole political system, I mean, I do like Bernie Sanders, but, you know, this is not self-governance. This is still coming from a very archaic way of understanding the will of the people, you know. So that's one thing I think we can just in a way, right off and start to take, you know, our own destiny in our own hands by accessing these higher dimensional realms that are moving us into these new realities. So that, I think that's part of this ascension and the sort of dropping away and the maturing like a child. Like, yes, we're going to the next stage. We're growing up. So who, like, where do you get your information from? Like, are you in touch with different beings that are helping to guide you as you guide other people? Talk to me about that a little bit.
I had a really mission. I was being tapped into just the energies of the planet, and I was very much journeying outside of my body as well. I got some guidance from a race of higher beings that helped me to see actually what this window period that we're in right now is all about. So my whole life, starting at a really young age, was all about preparing for this, all about doing particular things that probably wouldn't make sense to most people, that involved clearing inorganic entities from wormholes. And we do this when we're clearing our own chakras, but I sort of extended myself beyond my own physicality to work with Gaia and to, you know, help to activate this 13th gate, which really didn't happen until recently, actually. And, you know, it's a process. You just don't turn it on and then it's done. I mean, we have to be engaged. Everything is relationship. We're in relationship with life. So if we're going to be in a relationship, we got to show up. We got to communicate. We have to listen. So pretty much my whole life, you know, that was my focus. And so I've had beings, you know, assist. I've had all sorts of downloads come in that have been like, whoa. And then just the catalyst of being in a presidential family, you know, I started to look at the deeper layers of the military industrial complex, of, you know, some of the things that, you know, I saw in magazines or rumors, you know, in newspapers about ET and government treaties, and, you know, really started to study the galactic history and, you know, what's, you know, being targeted here. And it's all very simple. I mean, unity is being targeted. Sacred union is being targeted. Our balance of the masculine and feminine. And it's not just through media sources or cell phones or chemtrails. I mean, we're dealing with dark technologies that were put in place thousands of years ago. We're also dealing with different levels of artificial intelligence, like I mentioned. And there's just like one challenge after another. But similar to a child again, you can't put that child in a bubble. You know, we need to strengthen our spiritual immune system. You know, when we allow ourselves to expand and, you know, allow these lower forces to move us into a higher, you know, perspective, you know, where it's nudging us in the right direction instead of taking us down and victimizing us, you know, we can leverage these dark beings in this ascension window period and instead of getting caught up in the war and the battle, because the war and the battle is old paradigm, and that's going to keep us from being able to turn on our DNA, because the whole point of turning on our DNA is to start to access those higher spiritual gifts and abilities that will help us to meet our survival needs without, you know, just doing it. Not everybody in the government is bad. I think Bernie's great. I encourage people to vote and do whatever you think, you know, is necessary. It's important to live your truth. And that's the most important message. But I would hope that anybody that's good that gets into office will turn it around and change the nature of the system, because it really doesn't work.
Right. It absolutely doesn't work. But what is working, and I like what you said, we are turning on our DNA. And I think that's really one way to talk about ascension, is the activation of the multidimensional aspect of the DNA that opens up more connections to the cosmic consciousness, and then we get more information, and then things really change. We really start to become galactic in a sense, you know. We start,
right, and that's, yeah, you know, also, you know, connected to like the 13th gate. We're now dealing with the 13th zodiac sign, and you know, the properties of it are actually the ether, you know, fire and water actually. So now that that's online, the sun wasn't passing through that sign until 2010. You know, we're really able to awaken the divine feminine power.
Wait, what is the 13th zodiac? What sign is that? What's the sign?
Ophiuchus. And Ophiuchus supposedly is ruled by Chiron, which is the wounded healer, which is an asteroid. And so as we get in touch with this energy, it helps us to activate the 13th gate, which is really just Mother Earth coming more alive and us being in more connection, where we are in this shift and feeling it together, you know, moving out of those dark ages. And you know, the planetary body has been, you know, healing for a long time after all the cataclysms, trying to get back in alignment. Now we're in alignment with the galactic plane. So the 13th sign, you know, has the properties of every, okay, first off, every zodiac sign has an elemental property, earth, air, fire, water. So this 13th sign actually has the element ether, which is the fifth element. So on top of that, we've got the Venus transits that have been happening for thousands of years, creating this incredible sacred geometry in the sky. And so we're being hit from all angles. But we have to understand that all this planetary stuff is also happening in the Earth body, and we're helping to resurrect that. And we're bringing consciousness to the unconscious. And when we do that, we expose the archons, the dark entities, and the things that have been trying to rule. From behind, and we create psyche or our unconscious self, because we've lost sight of how much we've allowed that programming to infiltrate us for lifetimes. And of course, there's some of us that are revolutionary and won't stand for it. And that's why people like you and me do the work we do.
Right. And have fun doing it. I mean, there's so much in that. You know, the whole idea of this 13th sign, because if Chiron's ruling it and we're, and Chiron's the wounded healer, then this is the time of healing. And, you know, when you said it's the fifth element, that's what quintessence, it's the quintessential, it's the core element that really moves us into the Aquarian age, I feel. So all these institutions are dropping away on their own. I mean, yes, we're doing our piece because we're compelled to do it, not because we even want to do it or have to do it. It's like, this is what we're doing, right? I mean, this is how it is. So so what are some of the symptoms you, for people who are experiencing an ascension wave? How does that play out in their lives, you think?
Well, if a person, you know, has, because everybody has a natural affinity, you know, depending on what your chart is and depending on how your environment has impacted you and your relationships, and you know, where are your wounds and how are you reacting based on those wounds? Where are your strengths and gifts and how are they reacting in the face of it? So, I mean, it's a rebuilding process. It's the soul architecture is rebuilding itself. And so, you know, we're healing these archetypal dramas. We're healing these galactic wars. We're healing all these different things when we move through these, you know, layers of ourself. And so when we get like a wave, sometimes it can be incredibly painful. I think people are going through a lot of depression. I'm going through crazy stuff, and I'm like, I thought I cleared all this crap. Like, what is going on here? But you know, it's like you revisit things, but we can change the story in our perception of the story. Revisit things, and then we're child things with our parents. We have to do that in the larger picture with all the different things that in this position that we've been in, where the environment is, you know, there's degradation of the environment, there's animal extinction, there's radiation in the water, there's chemtrails in the sky. So, you know, this is a time of healing, which means that we need to pay attention to our own inner elements and live them and be authentic and embrace them and allow, you know, a healing to happen by being present with the processes that we need to go through instead of thinking that we have to be positive and happy all the time. I mean, we're dealing with massive wounds here. So the process, you know, ascension symptoms can be incredibly painful and, you know, there can be waves of, you know, feeling a lot lighter and a glimpse of, you know, what it means to live in unity and what it means to be, you know, expanded and grounded because.
Yes. Laura.
We're.
Oh, I lost you there for a second.
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. You just kind of dropped in and out, but no, I think I get what you're saying. It's not like all pretty and roses. There's really the hard part as we release the legacies, the baggage, the ancestral karma that has like brought us to this point. It's like fuel for the rocket. You know, it's gotten us here, but now it has to drop away so we can really, you know, we can really move to something new, something unknown. I mean, that's what it is for me anyway. It's moving into new thought form realities that we haven't experienced before. I mean, people fear the unknown because it's only based on what they know. But the true value of ascension, the true value of transformation is that it is unknown to the limited mind. And for me, that's the exciting part, what the universe will unfold moment to moment if we're present with the wave of energy that we're accessing. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I see it like an artist, you know, or a sailor. You know, a sailor can maneuver the rudder and the sails, but doesn't have any control over the weather, the wind, the waves. But you're in a co-creation process. You know, an artist is putting stuff on canvas and embrace our passions and not compromise and not block ourselves and give our power over to something else and say, oh, you know, I don't have time for this or it's not appropriate. It's not going to make me money. I mean, we got to be real bold here and trust the currency of the universe and that we're going to be supported and taken care of when we're living our truth. You know, and everything else is a false sense of security when it comes down to it, because, you know, a lot of it is just using us or, you know, giving us rewards for how we can exploit and take advantage of those that maybe are having a hard time in life. The whole way it's set up, you know, is to, you know, reward those that are kind of taking advantage. And so the healing process is also, you know, a massive deprogramming, a purification of the negative ego, getting out of victim consciousness, you know, for all the terrible things that happen in history, you know. So, I mean, women are getting real fiery and it's also the female energy within men.
Yeah, it's for the balance, definitely.
And nature is pushing us to do this. And so the forces are on our side because it's already encoded in nature that we're on an ascension planet. But the distractions and the programmings and the mind control out there disconnects us to the point where people don't even know how to operate their body anymore. And their symptoms are like confusing and they don't know what's wrong. And the body has messages, and Chiron's really about, you know, the messenger, like giving us an idea of what our deeper needs are that may have fallen into our unconscious self so that we can, you know, look at it for what it is and really heal and move forward. And, you know, for those that are like, oh, well, astrology, and I don't want to learn that and this and that, you know, it's, you know, a part of nature. You can just view nature and see the laws of nature. You know, it's no different. You know, what's going on in our soul is what we see in nature. You know, there's death, rebirth, regeneration, and all these different things that happen within our one body with these elements and with these, you know, these different diverse spirit medicines that, you know, work together to support a healthy ecosystem. And so we need to allow diversity. We need to allow differences of opinion. We need to not be in such a battle, but make the priority how to love and respect and appreciate the differences instead of stomp all over each other to see who, you know, has the biggest whatever.
Right. No, I get that. So, you know, we're all talking about that. Do you think that open contact with these ETs, I mean, we're going to be at Contact in the Desert in June, but do you think real contact will be made, or are they waiting for us to grow up? Or, I mean, of course, contact has been made many, many ways, but I mean, what's your take on the whole contact disclosure UFO situation?
Well, I think everybody's got to really, you know themselves, you know, have connect with, you know, the intuition, your psychic self, you know, what your body is trying to tell you so that you can be comfortable in your body and have a healthy and balanced body, because then you'll be able to see and determine, you know, what's healthy and what's not healthy. You know, what's a negative entity that's, you know, wanting to trick you or take advantage. And what's a benevolent being that, I mean, I look at it like it's the immune system. You know, there's always going to be higher, greater forces. And there's always going to be beings that are wanting to make contact. But we have to be willing to step up to the plate and do the work. And if we don't, robbers and thieves and tricksters can sneak in. You know, so we got to look at the laws of our own personal reality. If it wants to call it some ruin, but, you know, if we observe how we learn and grow, and we sort of move that into the arena of disclosure, you know, we can start to experience more of our multidimensional self, and we, you know, can give ourselves a little bit more credit too. Like, if it doesn't feel right, you know, go with your gut instinct more than run in the direction of somebody telling you that, you know, this is good, this is healthy, this is an appropriate thing. You know, we don't want to be blind. We don't want to be just, you know, led into, you know, something. This is a time of empowerment and a time of asking ourselves, do we resonate? Does it make us feel good? Is the message positive? I mean, we need to be more responsible. And the thing is, when we're on track and we're stepping up to the plate in an appropriate way, I believe there's a potential for an incredible amount of positive contact. And they're waiting for that. But there's just as much of a trap, you know, if we're just nodding our head at whatever speaker says whatever about or says there's no negative ETs, that can be pretty dangerous. And so, you know, I just think if we just observe, you know, just reality in general, it can answer a lot of questions.
No, definitely. And I think it is about self-empowerment. I think this is the time, and we can't let anyone throw us off. No matter what position of authority or even friends or even, you know, people who are think they're looking out for your own good. If it doesn't resonate, then, you know, we have to trust that, you know.
And we haven't been taught that. No. It seems so basic. But when it comes down to it, I mean, I have clients all the time. They're afraid of what other people will think. They take it very, very personal when, you know, other people don't understand. They might buy into a belief system that is really not in resonance with their physical body, and I can see it in their chart. That's why I love doing charts, because it's not just, you know, using psychic faculties or clear, you know, it says it like it. I mean, it makes it very clear what, you know, a person is working with, and you know, if they're getting further away from the goal or closer to the goal. And so I just like to kind of give them a nudge in the right direction. But ultimately, they're the ones that are going to heal themselves. They're the ones that are going to decide at the end of the day, I feel it doesn't. And we're going to maybe not all agree, but the best thing we can do is prepare our vessel and prepare our consciousness and to clear it enough so that we can see the contrast. You know, it's like a body with, you know, eating bad food, you know, if you go through a detox, your body's going to go through a crisis. But when you get to the other side of it, you're not going to want that food anymore. That old food you used to eat, that crappy food.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we're emerging into a higher vibration, which allows us to deflect the toxins, deflect the chemtrail salts, and deflect negative getting. We don't prepare the vessel. We're very vulnerable, and we just each need to take it upon ourselves, and then each individual is living their purpose. I mean, this is a purpose we all share. So,
right. So, are you seeing different things in the people's charts that you haven't seen before? Because we are in a different time. What are you seeing?
Well, the transits are always going to be different. I mean, the Saturn
Neptune square, you know, it's going to impact people's charts differently. Same with the Uranus-Pluto square. Squares are friction, or when two planets aren't really working together in a way that's comfortable. It pushes us to the edge. It challenges us. Sometimes, you know, people can't take it. I mean, what I see a lot of is, you know, people that everybody has avatar potential. Every single chart I see, that individual has the potential to have avatar consciousness and all strands of DNA turned on. That's available. But there's certain places in the chart where energies hide, you know? And so how do you bring it out of hiding? Well, you can't live in denial. You can't pay attention to your dreams. You may want to look at some of the wounds you carry from your childhood. You might want to explore past lives, do hypnoregression. You might want to do plant medicines, you know? But, you know, it's like, all right, let's lift this to the surface and see it for what it is and shine some light on it. So it's not such a mystery. You know, there's always going to be some sort of mystery, though. So we got to embrace that we're not going to figure it all out. Right. But the more we bring, you know, consciousness to the unconscious, the more we awaken our multidimensional self. And our reality has no choice but to reflect that back. And definitely. So what I see in people's chart is a lot more progress and a lot more awareness where what I might mention as an unconscious energy because of where it's located isn't so unconscious to that person because they've done the inner work and they've seen the value in taking the time to get to know the self enough to pull out some of those splinters.
Right. So is there anything coming up within the next, any squares, any transits that we should be aware of, you know, in the next month, couple of months?
Well, Mars is, we're dealing with, you know, retrogrades,
How do retrogrades affect us too?
Well, retrogrades aren't bad at all. You know, I don't know why people have such an issue. It just means that everything is more focused on the internal than the external. So like a Mercury retrograde, you would want to maybe spend more time processing and thinking about certain decisions you want to make and not acting upon those things. Or you might want to wrap up things that you've already begun. A Mars retrograde, Mars is very fiery and it's connected to adrenaline and it's very assertive, and it's the part of us that makes free will choices, you know, that come with ramifications if we're not careful. So Mars going inward is giving us a chance to, you know, think about where we want to direct our energies. And it's all sort of preparing us for when Jupiter moves into Libra, which is going to be great because Jupiter's been in Virgo, and Virgo has a lot to do with physical health and self-improvement. And it's not always fun because we have to be practical and we have to think about, you know, is it impacting us in a negative way? Because our body is going to scream and tell us if it is. So a lot of people might be going through health crises. But when it moves into Libra, it's going to be a lot about relationship and
partnership. And when is that happening? What's the date?
The exact date, I'm not quite sure. I'm pretty sure it's September, October.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's going to be awesome when that happens. I can get you the exact date.
No, it's okay. I just didn't know if it was like in the next couple of weeks. So
no, it's September.
Sometime this fall. Okay, so that will be a shift.
As far as squares go, I mean, there's going to be different small squares here and there, but the big one is Saturn square Neptune, and it's a really difficult one because they're very different energies. Saturn's all about discipline, responsibility, and also control and limitation. It depends if we like our responsibilities or if we're allowing a control system to run us. You know, it connects with rules. Neptune's all about multidimensional energy, and it likes, you know, music and art and to expand itself. So when those two planets don't get along, you know, it's like being kicked in the gut constantly. And so, you know, people are having a really tough time with this, and it's not going to clear until the end of the year. But as far as, you know, other aspects, we finally finished the Pluto-Uranus squares. You know, we're really moving. What I'm getting when I look at it is we're moving into a blossoming phase. You know, there's been a lot of pressure put on. There's been a lot of, okay, there's certain things we need to take seriously, but let's not take it so seriously that we forget to laugh. And, you know, the body is really stepping in and saying, hey, if you're not going to listen, if you're not going to pay attention, it's going to want to get your attention. And sometimes that can manifest, like I said, as health crises. But when we finally move into Libra, it's all about balance and harmony and positive relationships. You know, I think we will feel the rewards of a lot of hard work that the last couple of months and the last couple of years have shown. But, you know, it's up to us to decide how we perceive things. So, you know, I think it's, you know, definitely important that we recognize that we're lucid dreaming. We recognize that the whole of creation is like operating within our own beings. And we don't have to wait for the rest of humanity to get it. You know, if we want to ascend, we can go through what we need to and be conscious and aware of the initiations that nature is making available to get to the new earth. And so, yes, it's a time of bifurcation. It's a time of, you know, like, which road are you going to choose? And it doesn't mean that it's the end of the world if you make the wrong choice. I mean, I feel that there's nothing but unconditional love from spirit, and there will always be assistance and guidance, you know, to get us out of ruts and big messes. But still, as far as the year ahead, it's really about preparation and preparing the physical body and then moving into a place of more often, you know, authentic relationships and a stronger sense of justice, balance, and peace in the world. So that's really good news.
Think it's a time of collective blossoming, a blossoming of humanity that we have not seen before, when our real faculties, when our divine gifts come online and it becomes interactive within a social order, we will create the new world. And I think that is happening. We're coming into that. And I think that's what the collective ascension is about, you know?
Right. And the thing is, you know, if we look at, like, the tree of knowledge, I mean, knowledge is also connected to Chiron, and that energy has been very suppressed. The 13th zodiac has not been around until now. I mean, it's just sort of been hiding in the background. But being on this path of knowledge in order to, you know, be more responsible with our power because of all the exploded planets and falling in density to this lower density, you know, we need to learn the right use of power. And but we have to understand knowledge has been targeted. You know, mind control is a huge issue. All the false flags of war and everything that's, you know, taken place has been all about this window period. All the attention at the end of the day has been to disrupt this window period so that we don't get these initiations or activations or transmissions that are going to help us to get to the next level. So right. We have to be empowered dreamers and just say, hey, I'm writing the script here.
Well, we could see it as forces trying to disrupt us, or we can see it in terms of making us stronger. You know, stress, even like gravity makes your bones stronger. So like the forces that are opposing this are here, and this is how I choose to look at it, really to strengthen our intent and to make sure, in a sense, we really got it. Like it hasn't just been given to us.
Totally. And that's why I feel that, I mean, we don't have to save Mother Earth, but we need to treat her with respect. But she's helping us to see where we're going wrong. And I'm not into the whole being victimized by reptilians or we're doomed in this. Yes, there's a negative ET agenda, but, you know, it's no different than our negative ego. It's going to help teach us. I mean, the thing is, we're here to be senior to these lower forces, just like our immune system needs to be senior to viruses, bacteria, and germs. You know, it's a strengthening process to be exposed to it. We don't want to run the other way or be in denial or act like it's separate from us, or else we're in the war and in the battle. So I like to say, you know, the Illuminati only exists as long as you give it power and energy. And as long as you're operating from your negative ego, there's going to be false power structures that are going to influence you and your future. You know, because you've allowed yourself.
Absolutely. But there's many levels of negative ego. I mean, there's people like, you know, like Donald Trump, who don't even know they have a negative ego. And then there are other people who are more aware of it. And then it's a struggle for them. Which way are they going to choose? They're going to choose to indulge in their what's been called necromancers or their downward spirals, their addictions, or are they going to go to a higher level? And I think that's the bifurcation we're in now within the conscious intentions of us, those maturing into this unfolding new world. So
it's frequency and vibration. So it's like the electromagnetic spectrum. You know, there's going to be all these different properties of the negative ego. Some of those properties will be insecurity, shame, guilt. Other properties will be domination, control, lust, you know. In actual fact, you know, if we look at mythology, that's why I'm so into mythology. If we look at like the seven deadly sins and we look at it on a metaphorical level, when we go into the underworld and when we go into those energy centers and we purify them, they become virtues. They become the seven pillars of wisdom. And they give us what we need in order to graduate into our galactic chakras, which enables us to experience reality beyond, you know, this time loop that we've been stuck in. And
Can you talk about the galactic chakras? I think that's a really interesting concept. Can you explain that further?
Sure. So we have, I mean, most people consider just the seven. You know, the lower three chakras are connected to ego. The first chakra is the more unconscious self. That's why physical symptoms are connected more with the root chakra. You know, things surrounding issues of survival. And if it's closed down, it means that we probably trust a higher power and we don't have to, you know, like beat our head against the wall worrying about money. So every chakra has a property. So the second is emotional body, sexual energy. Third is, you know, the power center. And those are basically the lower chakras. And most of our culture in this world is keeping us sort of in there.
I call that the animal body. That's the animal. That's the, you know, the earth body in a sense.
Right. And we want to enlighten that, you know, and that's part of Chiron as well. You know, how can we bring enlightenment and intelligence to these lower chakras, because we don't want to be split between the higher and lower worlds anymore. And so when we initiate ourselves and we do the alchemy and we allow ourselves to go, you know, into the dark night of the soul or ancestral patterns or unconscious energies that are affecting our health negatively, or maybe, you know, things that are really positive about our lower chakras, like, oh, you know, we're passionate, or, you know, we know how to build houses really well. And so, you know, we have skills. So as we move, you know, we go into the fourth, and the fourth actually can attract a lot of astral entities because it's questions of love and self-worth and how we love others and self. But when we start to move into the fifth, now we're dealing with alchemy, creativity, using our voice, and understanding the power of our voice and how it's like a magician. We got to be careful with our words, and it's a place where we can create change in alchemy. Then we move into the sixth, you know, the third eye, our ability to see spirit and comprehend spirit and all things. And then the seventh is the seventh chakra. Now, seven archons, seven rulers, and all the infections and disruptions and corruptions and dark technologies that have affected the earth grids, which in turn affect our chakra system and our DNA.
Yes.
Have needed purification and clearing. Sit in the seven chakras and think that's enough. And you know, we have to understand, like, there's chakras beyond it. So for us to reach those galactic chakras, we have to clear the container so that it can be something that we can perceive. How can we possibly perceive it if we're looking through the lens of something that's either controlling us, or it's contaminated, or it's damaged on some level? So
what are the galactic chakras? What gifts do they give us? What means to access more parts of ourselves to unfold
so that. Chakra 7, 8, and 9 is the monadic body. The monadic body has a lot to do with the beginning stages of Haros Gamos, which is the balance of the masculine and feminine. When the masculine and feminine are in balance, we're able to birth the Christ consciousness, because everybody's got that potential. It's not about one figure over here. We all can be Christed beings. We all can be awakened goddesses. You know, we all have that stuff. So these higher chakras connect us more with that. So 7, 8, and 9 is actually where Andromeda and Orion connect. 7, 8, and 9 is where the mouth of God is, and also where all these different changes start to happen. And then we start to move into 10, 11, 12, which is the avatar consciousness. And it connects with the cosmic egg, the Buddhic egg, and the solar egg. And these different initiations actually, you know, are healing, you know, for our body. We come into balance with the earth, and then we manifest relationships that are ready to operate from that level. You know, it's no longer about the programming of the masculine and feminine, or the stereotypes, or the imbalance where there's patriarchy and you know, the Persephone or exiled goddess. And it doesn't matter what gender you are. Some men are carrying more of the feminine, and vice versa. We play out what we need to play out in order to, you know, get to where we need to be, you know?
I'm just curious, because, like, we're talking about, you know, this higher calling, but what do you think about the passing of some of these great artists that kind of were sort of like transcending genders, like Prince and David Bowie? I mean, it's very curious that, you know, they were quite unique and creative and almost androgynous. And yet, you know, is this just a time where they pathfinders? How do you see within this consciousness awakening, those transitions?
Well, I see that they're moving into, I mean, they're entering that galactic chakra energy. That frequency is very, very hard to hold on this planet right now.
You know, if people have been following Corey at all, he talks about the sphere beings and that the ascension has been slowed down. So it's very, very uncomfortable for advanced souls to be here right now, because it's like, excuse me, we're supposed to be ascending and somebody's turning the volume down. It's like, I mean, my body's going nuts. I'm like we're supposed to wait. It's like, can't we just do it and they can deal with whatever ramifications come from not being prepared? And then I'm like, okay, I have compassion. It's fine. But what I'm getting is that they're helping to lift the veil. Like when I hear somebody has transitioned, to me, they haven't died. I'm just, you know, I'm just kind of like, oh, they're over here now. And they're kind of, you know, helping to lift the veil. And they're, you know, at a certain stage where, I mean, every soul is going to be different. So I'm not going to speak for their soul journey and where they are on it. But I would say the androgynous energy is a very, very high vibration. And the different energies that are coming in that work with that level of awareness or a human template that is able to hold these higher energies, a lot of them are just leaving. They're like, we can't deal with this low energy anymore. Like, it's been really hard for me to stay alive these last 2 years, but I'm so glad so many musicians are on the other side, because it's like, holy crap, like there's some awesome party on the other side that I'm going to try not to be invited to or try not to go to. But
you're, what, just if you don't mind talking about, I mean, you don't have to tell us like your personal stuff, but
it's
when
not,
you say it's been hard for you to stay alive, I don't know what you mean. What do you mean that?
But, well, it's always been hard. So, I mean, it's just hard to be in, you know, the physical.
But
you know,
what's hard about it? What, I mean, I don't understand what, I mean.
It's my own personal crap about, you know, just the way programmings affect me, the way, you know, just being an empath and feeling everything on the planet, having this huge mission, being targeted, you know, single parenting and losing the father of my kids. It's just, you know, after a certain point, it's just like, oh my gosh, you know, and at a very young age, a lot of my mission had to do with not being in my body. And I ended up stumbling upon a clairvoyant institute that said, there's only like 2% of you in your body. You know, your kundalini is keeping you alive. And so I purposely, and I made an agreement to do this. I went on the journey of death and resurrection. And it's not like death resurrection, like on a cross, but if people, you know, study the labyrinth or certain mythologies connected to Venus, you know, there's a journey of going into the gates of hell to purify it and restore it to the mother womb. I've been doing this for a lot of incarnations, this kind of path, but it'll almost take you out, because it's, you're in the realms of death. So your physical body wants to follow because you're already there. But the whole idea is that you master these forces so that we can lift the veil between life and death, which is what this ascension is all about. So I, you know, have worked with psychics and shamans and healers, and they've all, you know, seen this in these past lives and have validated, you know, what this level of work is. It's not hard to be here because it's terrible. It's just, if you're built a certain way or you have a certain type of mission that requires you to step over the edge in order to create some level of alchemy, that's why I call myself a global alchemist. You know, you're gonna be. I mean, I just live very close to death all the time. That's just how it is. I'm not a victim to it.
No,
it's not.
No, I understand. No, I think you live very passionately and very in the moment, so you could call it that. I just want to say, I have a question from somebody, Zenith out there. He asks, has Nibiru Planet X passed through nearby universal coordinates, or is it still on its way?
I just, you know, I don't have enough proof to be able to say exactly what Nibiru is doing. I think the orbit's a lot longer, or wider, bigger than what scientists have thought.
So you don't get a Planet X vibe coming this way then, really.
I personally don't, but I figure it's on some timeline, but I'm not thinking that it's on mine.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you know, this is what they do also. They throw out a meme or some sort of propaganda, and the minute we buy into it and we hook into it, we become enablers and manifestors of it.
And
so,
victims of it. Victims, you know.
Right. And I like to just be like, I'm writing the script of my future, but I'm also open to things that I have no control over, and I'm going to do my best with it when they show up. But I'm not going to sit around and make predictions about Nibiru, first of all, because I don't fully know. Second of all, it would be regurgitating maybe somebody else. Or I like to connect dots and everything, but from what I've come to understand and what my intuition has told me, because I do a lot of meditation. I mean, I do a lot of energy work, and I, my background's in the, you know, I was in the wilderness for so long. So, you get clarity and you can see things, is that it's not even around. It like blew up, like it's not even fully functional. And it's not what we think it is. And that if we, there's a lot of things that they can create.
you know, with the blue beam technology, they can create any future scenario that they want. We have to stop that those technologies in their tracks by working with our own power, you know, and manifesting our future based on what we'd like to see happen. Because we're kind of in this war between these technologies, these artificial timelines, and just power. And so every moment we, you know, can be architects of our future, but we also have to deal with the things that we can't control. But I think, you know, people, instead of trying to figure out what Niebuhr is going to do, it's, you know, what script do you want to write for yourself? And right. Worst case scenario, you know, do you love yourself? Have you learned the spiritual lessons that help you to let go of the fear of death or the fear of attack? You know, because ultimately, you know, we're connected to everything. I don't really like the word alien. I feel we are connected to everything.
I agree with you. I don't think there's actually
so
anything.
The outcome of things.
Yeah. There's what?
Well, the outcome of everything is we're co-creating is all.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. And that sounds very sobering. And I think when we stop calling things alien, we'll realize that we're part of a bigger universe of you know, of beings. We're all aliens and not aliens here. So how do you then, I mean, because I know you're always on the go, you're always accessing information, always doing readings and healings and teachings and seminar, but how do you relax? How do you just stop and just quiet yourself and just tune in? What do you do to do that for yourself? Laura?
I like to just work in the yard. I mean, I used to be a landscaper, so, you know, and when I landscaped, I mean, I worked, you know, 10-hour days some days, maybe even more, and you would just get in the zone, and just everything would just kind of fall away, and that's what I, you know, could really hear. Did the will I just because I like to write, I like to just find water to jump in and soak in.
And I think we need that. We need the nature to actually help us adjust to the vibration.
Yes, so this is, you know, coming through nature. I mean, this is, you know, we're healing the earth grids. We're correcting a lot of the damage that's been done. You know, consciousness corrects things. Energy corrects things. Sometimes I think, you know, people think, you know, it's going to be so hard to get out of, you know, these traps and we're doomed. And it's like, no, we have to just unplug and connect with what's real. And I say this a lot, but it's about like divorcing, you know, the bad partner and embracing the true love that's available. And we're going to have a much more real experience. We're going to feel healed. We're going to thrive. But we have to be willing to cut the ties with the things that don't really serve us and not make excuses anymore, because it's obvious that, you know, it's not here to help. And it doesn't mean that we create this us against them or we push it away. It just means that we're getting our power back. And when people are ready to show up with integrity, you know, we have open arms. But until then, you better, like, you know, figure it out quick. And if they want to go down the path of artificial intelligence and artificial timelines, they become digressed beings and, you know, they become dependent on technology. Now, certain races traded in their DNA on purpose, but they've tricked a lot of people into joining their team. And it's not one that's very healthy. But there's a lot of advanced good technologies that we want to be aware of, and we want to help fund those that have been, you know, working behind the scenes to make those available.
Yeah, I mean, I think in all cases, technology is either a tool for advancement or another trap. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people addicted to their cell phones, you know, and they can't be anywhere without it. But, you know, when I shut down all my technologies at night and just kind of tune into something else, I feel like, wow, I'm connected to this really bigger picture. And I think for me, that's the way I connect in, just laying down, closing my eyes and letting the thoughts and the energies come from the non-technical, organic consciousness that is open. Always with us, but we miss from that. And sometimes, of course, it's a tool. So anyway, it's
yeah, and you know, it's the balance of the right and left brain, the balance of the masculine and feminine. I mean, it was inevitable that humans, especially in a free will universe, we're going to go all haywire with technology and all the things that can be created. And you know, we're in a multidimensional cosmos, and we're dealing with, you know, invading races, but we're also dealing with genetics that we've been given, and memories that we have when we were, you know, in extraterrestrial form, or, you know, functioning from our 12 strand or beyond level in these higher earth energies that we're returning to. So, you know, it really comes down to, like, you know, what's balanced. The right. Internet's great. You know, certain technologies are great, but, you know, when does it get to the point of, like, you know, unhealthy? When does it start to yank us out of our soul?
Well, that's where we need, that's where we need to, you know, keep, you know, checking in with ourselves and saying, well, am I looking at my cell phone too much here? You know, is it like out of balance? And then you have to just step back and not let the ego mind drive us to our addictive needs. I mean, that's what I'm facing, you know, all the time. But why don't you talk a little bit about, we can go a little more. I mean, they might not hear this live and after 3 minutes or something, but we can keep taping a little more, and then they can catch this on the replay. But talk about the divine feminine and the role, the new role that the feminine is playing in this time of ascension.
I don't want to, you know, add, you know, like a war type mentality, but I mean, a spirit warrior, you know, being able to lift yourself out of the trenches, out of the underworld, out of, you know, oppression and exile, and just to say, hey, you're not going to put up with it anymore. And we're in a time right now where, you know, we can really rise in our power, and you know, the system isn't set up to be able to do what it used to be able to get away with. The weapons are different now. You know, it's more about mind control, and it's more about keeping us locked in these programmings that keep us from really being able to unify. The whole goal is that we're not able to activate our DNA, and they're able to maintain control and feed on us, and that's the goal. So you know, the feminine's, you know, the power of that, you know, is connected to the regenerative power of nature.
Right.
Connected to the mother, to all these different faces of the feminine. And it's really important that we don't put it in a box, or it has to be like this, or this is, you know, something that you have to become. You already are. You know, it's about stripping away the BS, you know, so that we can get to that core power. And it's creative, and it births, and it works with the masculine and the masculine.
Right. No, it does work and, with, know, the masculine. I think a lot of women have forgotten that part. They said, you know, a lot of women who are coming into the feminine sort of start to reject the masculine, and they don't realize that they're doing the same thing that was done to them, and it just creates a seesaw effect, and it doesn't come into balance.
And that's what I, that's not where it's at. You know, it's about relationship. It's about recognizing birth without both. I mean, yes, there's immaculate conception and this and that, and there's other things, and there's things that, you know, the Christ energy can do that, you know, but it's within our own body. You know, we got a right hand, we got a left hand, we got the masculine and feminine. It doesn't matter what physical body we're in, we have in our harmony, and the return of the goddess energy is just saying, hey, I'm here, and I'm choosing to be in relationship with the divine masculine and the patriarchal false kings of tyranny and all the negative dark lords that have kept her in the underworld. It's like, screw you, we're done.
Right. No, I think that's all great. Let's just talk about contact, because Laura Eisenhower, I'm talking to Laura Eisenhower, and she'll be at Contact in the Desert June 3rd to the 6th, along with me, Richard Dolan, Linda Moulton Howe, Whitley Strieber's going to be there. It's the who's who of higher consciousness UFO investigations. What are you going to be talking about at Contact, or where do you want to tune in to that audience?
I'll be talking about Gaia Sophia, you know, the nature of this planetary body, and, you know, earth grids, DNA, you know, chakras, a lot of the stuff that, you know, we've been talking about, and, you know, how we can participate more in this process. I'll be talking about things, military industrial complex type stuff, ET agendas, secret space program. And, you know, there's just a lot of dot connecting. There's three different things I'll be doing, so it's really worth checking out the website.
You know, one's just, you know, really helping us to see the relationship we have with all of creation and this planetary body. One is more secret space program and Eisenhower type stuff and my recruitment and hidden agendas, but with a positive message, you know. And then there's a Monday intensive that's going to be for a couple hours, and it's going to, you know, give us a lot of practical information, and also, you know, give us more of a glimpse of what these things look like so we could be more familiarized. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I love speaking at this conference.
Yeah, no, it's a great conference. I recommend it for anyone who's there. It's been called the Woodstock of ufology, and I think it really is, because it takes place in the desert, Joshua Tree, a beautiful environment, and it's a really nice time that everyone has there. So
just to walk a person into a transformation so they can start to access those galactic chakras. So I don't want it to just be information. I want people to have an experience.
Right, and I think there's enough people tapped in at a gathering like this to the higher frequencies that make it easier for people to walk into those realms, for sure.
Definitely, definitely. And it's easier now than ever, and it's easier to see, you know, what's trying to get in and stop it. So I only just feel positive waves and positive energy each year. We all come together, you know, these friendships that have developed. We can claim victory and feel good about it. And whatever doesn't feel like victory is an opportunity to transmute it, to alchemize it, and to, you know, step into another dimension of ourselves. Because anytime we're pushed to the edge, that's a free will choice we have to make.
Right. Well, thank you for your time. What's the best website to find you at?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always great to see you at events.
Of course.
My website's cosmicgaiasophia.com. That's the name of the planetary body, and I present a lot about the origins of that and how it came to be. And yeah, I do readings, so check out that link, and you can find me on Facebook if you don't remember the website, and I'm Laura Eisenhower on Facebook.
Are you doing any other conferences coming up?
I'm going to San Mateo this weekend. I'm going to be doing a conference in Shasta with Corey Good and Michael Sala. I believe that's in August. There's some stuff. It should be on my website, and it should be updated. But then contact and then Lightning in a Bottle. I'll be speaking there.
Great. Laura, it's always good to talk to you and see you. I look forward to seeing you at this really great event in the desert. So.
Oh, me too.
And thanks for your time too. You're always very humble and gracious. I appreciate that. So.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I love your questions and just everything you share. And
right, we you know that panel we did last year got a lot of hits on YouTube. We did the UFOs and spirituality, and that got a lot of traffic on YouTube. So thanks.
Panel.
I've been talking to Laura Eisenhower. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. If you want to reach me, go to my website, newrealities.com. Thanks for listening.